Mile. Basic Mile is the universal insurance company for all who reside within the Islamic domain. Also, the treasury. In the Islamic Sharia, we find insurance for individuals against hazards and provision for assistance to them to overcome disaster which may befall them. Due to calamity, it is permitted to ask for financial help. And this is separate from zakat. Zakat is obligatory on us to help an individual. But the Beit ul Mal is the treasury house for those who put into the treasury house. It's the same, almost, it's a more better, as a matter of fact, most of your insurance companies have gotten the concept of most of your insurance companies come out of Beit ul Mal. It's just that we don't know nothing about Beit ul Mal because, like I said earlier, previously, it's good that we dawah to the Muslims. So this way we can become more aware on the treasures that was left by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this Beit ul Mal is a treasure for us. And being that we just come out of Ramadan, and this is Shaban, Shawwal, there are still treasures for us to get, as long as we stay within the Islamic, within the deen, the religion. See, we don't go outside of the religion, we can pick up all the treasures that was already left for us. So, I'd like to complete it. Particularly from the administrative authority until he is fully compensated or is able to stand on his feet again. So whoever puts into the Beit ul Mal, if anything should happen to him or the brother who is the head of the household, then the family comes under the Beit ul Mal. Okay? And this way the Muslim community is obligated to take care of the family until the family, the sister, is able to remarry and get back on her feet. Okay? Or the brother, if he has a disaster and he's not fully covered with insurance, he still can come into the Beit ul Mal, and the Beit ul Mal will help him until he's able to get on his feet. Okay? Also like to read something that the Prophet Muhammad said. He says, I am nearer to each Muslim than his very self. If he leaves behind some property, it is for his heirs. And if he leaves behind a debt or a family with young children, he leaves them to me. And they are my responsibility, meaning that they are the responsibility of the Islamic government. So these things we have to consider, the Beit ul Mal. The Beit ul Mal is very serious because when you look at the insurance companies, most of your insurance companies that we pay into are taking our money and investing it in Short Hills, Livingston, South Africa, Israel. And this is our money. So if we take our money and hold our money, but it has to come under the Beit ul Law, the house of Allah. So this is the only way that you can do this, is come under the Beit ul Law. You have to do this from the masjid. If we all, instead of putting it in our monies in insurance companies, and put it into the masjid, and take control of our own monies. See, right now we don't have control of our own monies. saints are coming from Israel. That's where your saints are coming from. I mean, saints, saints. Not saints that you buy up at Caldor's or Sears. I'm talking about saints. And they was letting us know that the Jews don't allow no one to handle their money but Jews. You go over there to Chinatown, right here in New York, you'll see about at least about 13 or 14 banks right in this small little area. And the Chinese are letting you know we handling our own money. They even have a bank over there called Gold Bank, and the letters are in gold. Okay? So we need to get in control of our own finance. Right now, like Malcolm used to say, we're sitting here looking like a knot on the wall because we don't have control of our own finances. We have children coming up here, and our children are going to, we're going to have something for them. We can't leave our children to this society. It's immoral. It's immoral. So we have to get control of our own finances. So the Beit HaMal will move you into the banking system. Okay? Right now, we're working, inshallah, we're working now to put together a package for the banking system. Okay? Inshallah. So, you know, just be a little patient with us and try to be calm. Don't get excited. Because I know a lot of times people say, well, who's going to handle the money? Who's going to be in charge of our money? Brother, whoever's thinking that can come on up and I'll put you in charge of my money. Because what's going to govern you is Quran and the Sunnah. And you won't be able to get away from that. Because while Allah says to believe in Allah, he'll guide. To believe in Allah, you're unseen. You see? So you can't get away with that. If it's in the face of Allah, now if you come on out here, and you know if it's not set up according to Quran and Sunnah, then you can get away out there. But this is protected by Allah, the faithful man. Okay? So and Allah says too, save yourself and your families from a fire whose fuel is human beings and stones. Some people is just created just for the hellfire. And if you keep putting, leaving your destiny in the hands of these people out here, you too and your children will be in the hellfire. Okay? So I like to say this too. We also need some land. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us a long time ago. We need some land we can call our own. Okay? So I don't know what we're waiting on, what we're thinking about, because even at the Eid, the argument was over, can we cook in the pot? You know, can we do this? Can we do that? Why don't we get some land and we can stop all that? We can do what we want to do. We don't have to have nobody to tell us what we can't do or go up here and say, mister, can you give me a permit to do this, to do that? He said, sure, boy, here. Since you ain't got sense enough to do it on your own, so this is what happens. So, you know, I'm just bringing this up because we need housing, we need schools, we need supermarkets, we need farmland, like the brother was saying here. We need preparation. Our father was saying we need preparation for raising our own meat. Need to take charge of the vegetables and the fruit because you know a lot of fruit is coming over here. Bad fruit. You can't even eat the apples now. You know, the apples is messed up. You can't even drink apple juice. You got to drink orange juice. And if you don't drink that, if you drink, you keep on drinking the apple juice, you'll see what'll happen. We're burying a lot of Muslims now. A lot of Muslims. Why? Because we don't have control of our finances. get a room. Okay? They'll put you out in the hall and tell you, well, I'll be right with you. And then they diagnose you out in the hall. And if you come, if they put you in a room, you come out of the room, by the time they tell you go in the bathroom and put your clothes on, you come back, the room is filled. So we need a hospital. He was the only one that had sense enough to even think about a hospital. We need a hospital. But they're telling us right now, I don't care how much insurance you have, we still may not have room for you. Okay, I had to take my mother-in-law. She has all kinds of insurance. I had to take her to one hospital. She has ulcers. I took her to one hospital. They told me they was filled up. So we said, well, can you call around? Yeah, we'll call around. They called about three hospitals. We finally got out of bed. But look at the time that we had to wait. The lady was almost on the floor. Okay, so we need a hospital. So right now, while we're in our consciousness, we have to stay calm with one another, be patient with one another, stop fighting and arguing with one another, listen to one another, because if you never know what's on a person's mind until you listen to his words or her words. When you listen, then you will hear the mind. The mind is in the word. So if you hear the word, you'll hear what's on the person's mind. So be patient with one another so we can move on to our own destiny. Map out our own destiny. Because Abu Bakr don't want nobody controlling him. Right? And the only way that I can, when I say not controlling me, I mean the society. Okay? The society is so messed up. We need each other. And Allah and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, stay in the Jama'ah. The Jama'ah is the Ummah. Stay in the Jama'ah. Because if you don't stay in the Jama'ah, the wolf will get you. And who is the wolf? It's the society. See? So we need each other. So that's why I say stay calm, listen to one another, and be patient with one another. And also, we need that land also for the indoor and the outdoor eating. Okay? Because I know you work with a lot. We need that because we're coming up with the indoor. We're going indoor now. So we're going to have to try to get together. If it's not this year, inshallah, next year, we will have some land. Right now, that's in the proposal form to get some land. So we need all the brothers to participate in this, especially the brothers. Okay, because we need, like Akbar said, we need more vision. We need some courage. You know, to go on out and be a competitor. You know, we're not competitors. Even if you don't want to, let me say this. Even if you don't want to go into business, let's move on a co-op level. Whereas you don't want to go into business, so we use the concept that the Muslims use, Mudariba. Mudariba is for some that just want to do physical work, and then some that want to provide finances. Okay? So, inshallah, we have a lot of things coming up, a lot of things working. We have proposals. We're moving and we're working. So, inshallah, just be patient with us. Try to participate. And inshallah, we will make you a good control of all the destiny. That's what I'm going to do. Fairly soon, I'm sure, the Finance Committee encouraged me to do something in that area in that regard. Something I'd just like to put out there as a little
deny something. Deny. But to deny. What's with the guy? What's the guy about it? What's the guy about it? Being handled by Christians. And that's probably, I think he's more concerned about that. And turns the tension. You know, even in the old slavery days, the church came out. And the churches were the only center of community activity among the freed slaves and the slaves. They had what they called burial society. That was the beginning of our Black Insurance Company. So maybe we should consider something, maybe in that primitive, a burial society. Was a burial society. Something that at least is a start. It's a thought to be working. As I mentioned earlier, many of the presenters here are long-time fellow Muslims who have come through the community together with us and myself. And the next presenter is a long-time brother and personal friend, Brother Jihad Yassin. I'd just like to mention that Brother Jihad created him a position. His brother was very innovative. He saw a problem, he attacked that problem, and in attacking that problem, others saw the need and necessity for what he was doing. And it was a type of provocation. It was something that now is being, you might say, a bandwagon that's being jumped on now by the other segments of the public, and that is the anti-drug program. This brother started going into school pretty much on his own, making presentations, teaching, educating against the threat and drudge of drugs. And as a result of that, he created a job in Board of Education for himself. And in fact, there's an article in Teaching Kindergarten to the 8th Grade. This is an education professional magazine for teaching. And it so happens to be not just an article, but he did mention getting a nice little picture of our brother right there in the classroom, lecturing, making a presentation on the drug problem. So without any further ado, I'd like to bring forth Brother Jihad Yassin to speak to us on public awareness. Love our brother.
I know before me, we had a few speakers, and drugs is basically the number one problem that we face. Our survival depends on eliminating drugs, and we can't say enough about it because it's devastating. You don't have to use drugs in your life. You have to be aware of it. Basically, I'm in elementary school. I do workshops, credited with teachers, PTAs, and so forth, a lot of the corporate world, because we've got a big drug problem. This is something that a lot of us look the other way. And when you talk about propagating, we need to look at the children's mind. I do a lot of monitoring situations. One of them is the visibility of the drugs, how prevalent they are in the community. We talk about the urban areas and so forth. The freedom that children have as parents is by their tastes. And children will watch over and over. And what they're doing, they're making a drug addict. And some of us are not even aware. Children have a sense, which is our hereafter. When you talk about the beautiful peace of mind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the children. And the children are basically honest in school. I asked, I said, what do you know about drugs? I'm talking about K, kindergarten. Someone said, fight. I said, what you know about the fight? My mother, my uncle, my grandma, smoked it. And they're doing it in front of children.
Just these two?
Children copycat, assimilate, the TV, the videotape, they record. And a child can see something 6, 7, 8 years old.
You
see something in his mind.
You don't have to going to
structure in our society. Some of us ride the streets. The drug dealers who live to make signs to us. And they're trying to sell their wares. They don't know who you are, basically. And this is a business. And it's a lucrative business. You'd be surprised at people who are involved in it. When you look at Colonel York, the ones they make heroes out of. But a lot of us don't know that they were bringing cocaine and heroin and big body back to this country in order to give another country guns and weapons. You know, we got to really look at this because it is the time to make this come. It's an important job. And when you talk about propagating, some of the things we have to do to offset that, we, even with diapers, talk about the freedom. These things are designed to make us fail. You know, and we could do something about it through unity. I was talking to the teachers union, which is one of the biggest unions in the state of New Jersey. And in the school system, some of them bring up fights. And the child says, you hit me. And the principal has to write it up. They give it to the child study team, the social worker. And they don't make charges on these teachers. And a lot of them are losing their jobs because they give a lot of the children cards when they make call on the parent and say, you here. So they know what they're doing. And with the influences, how strong they are out here, the child can't survive and doesn't really know it. And especially with the absence of God, most of these children don't have it. They took the play out of school 20 years ago, or maybe 30 years ago. These children are empty. The only thing they're doing is copycat, imitating the things that they see. I tell them in the classroom, when I come in the classroom, and when I go to the high school, I don't wear a suit, because the first thing they say, you're the police. And they don't want to answer questions or anything, especially if they feel that you're a police officer. So I just don't wear the suit, because a lot of times the suit is associated with the detective that comes from school, that I may be with, or put on a health fair or whatever. So I don't really wear a suit in the school when I'm in the classroom. But it's sad because most of the young people don't have a defense against this. And I tell them, if you don't hate it, you're going to be a part of it. And it's sad because we're losing so fast. I ask them questions in class, and they can't come in. And I try to point out to them some of the ways where have to do something about it. We have a lot of department buildings where you see the kids clocking and dealing, selling drugs. This is one of the expressions you see a lot of young people use. Because a lot of times they talk about being raised as adults. And when you walk in the hallway, and I know some of us go through this, and you got to say, excuse me, you're in the building. It's sad. You really is. You know, when you talk about propagating, we have to do some certain things about that. Because some of us are living in death trap, as you call it. And you can be killed just like that, twinkling of an eye, or quickly. Because the woman carries a pocketbook. They assume what they hear in the pocketbook. They don't know. But they'll blow your brains out for that pocketbook. A lot of the babies get raped. These drugs have no personality. They have characteristics. And we pick up these characteristics by abusing a lot of these. We're getting a lot of mixed information, the news media, which tells us crack is pure cocaine. It's poison. Here's a drug made with nothing basically but solvents. Solvents and cleaning agents. 80% of crack that's made is made with ammonia. And ammonia will burn you if I put ammonia in the back of my head. It's a flesh eater. But they won't give us the proper information. And children are watching pictures, especially one in particular, RoboCop. I don't know how many of us saw it, but RoboCop is so devastating on our young. Freddy Krueger and Jason with the homicide, with the murders. And they don't realize they act out these things. When the anger, when the children get angry, they act out what they have knowledge of. And this is what they're recording in their mind. And we have to look at that. We have to monitor these youngsters more closely. The other day I was in one of the schools and I asked, I was in first grade class, as I
I asked one young lady, so I asked for a general class, and I said, what did you get out of Provo Cop? Young lady turned around in first grade, no more than 7 years old, and she said, they put cocaine on that woman's body and snorted it off. And I asked the children, I said, how many times did you watch them when they tell me they have to take 12, 4, 6, 8? And basically every detective picture on TV is showing us some kind of drug, Miami Vice, putting drugs on the mirror, snorting it off. And we have to be careful what our children are becoming, because they're digesting it. And as Muslims, there's a lot we can do. Basically, one of the things we do, we have to have is unity in doing it. Because this is a problem when you lose your life, by just saying something. And with two comments made, one was with Jehovah's Witnesses. Jehovah's Witnesses, you see, doing a lot of provocation. You see, the woman, I was basically doing a lot of the provocation with Jehovah's Witnesses. The same thing, basically, I see in the PTA meeting. Just don't read. The violence over a lot of these children, even in the teaching profession, we don't have that. In summer school, there's one male, there may be 800 students as a teacher. One male. You know, that's something to look at. We don't have that positive image. You look at your professional athletes, you see the drugs. A lot of them making $1 million in 5 months. Can't get away from the drugs, the feeling, when you talk about cocaine. The flesh is weak. And as Muslims, we should know the flesh is weak. And the flesh is basically succumbing to a lot of the wounds of society. Because the drugs are powerful. The hidden force of these chemicals, you really can't imagine. The drugs are devastating, especially on people of color. Because this is where it's existing at. You look at some of the things, I'm on the Attorney General Task Force, and when you look at the school signs, drug-free community, it's a forest. 1,000 feet from the school. And at night, in most of our playgrounds in the community, they stay 60 feet away from the street and sell drugs. They pop drugs in case they see the police. When they throw them, they're 30 feet away from where he stops them at. And he doesn't even look that far to find the drug. And the problem that it creates the next day when school is open, somebody might get their head taken off because drugs is money. Youngsters in the fourth grade, five, and eighth grade students want to beat them up because they know this is money. You know, and we as a community, when you look at most of the sellers, they do that. Some of them are born with this. We got some things to do. One of the sunnahs of Prophet Muhammad, so I was supposed to learn, is three articles of faith. When you move with your hands, you speak your heart, and aid with your heart. We have to say something. Because they do respect us. Most of these young men that sell drugs, cop drugs, they actually do, but they do respect us. You know, and it's not that we have to force that respect, but we need to get that respect from them. We need to remind them of the things we're doing. Because in the Quran, it says, tell them to sleep, restrain them. They're acting out the wounds of the devil when they do these things. They don't realize it. One of the things I do with them in the classroom, Allah bless me to memorize divine attributes and 99 divine attributes. And these children have names. I say, what's your name? I make them aware because the Quran also says, once you make a person aware, things happen. Ignorance sometimes, being ignorant in a state and doing certain things hypocritical is a blessing. Because the person may not lose his life because he really doesn't know. Because we copycat, we simulate, we imitate. A lot of the children don't know that the things that we're doing in front of them wrong. Especially when you look at, everybody feels that crack, cocaine is the number one killer. It's not alcohol, which is a business. It's the number one killer in drug in the world. You have parents drinking in front of children. And what would a baby do 3 or 4 years old, walk up between their legs and ask for something? He doesn't know what it is. And most of them give it to him. That's the one that intoxicates him. Cigarettes, the number two killer in the world, the cigarettes. 540 chemicals. You talk about the chemicals in crack, ammonia in all cigarettes, arsenic, cyanide, formaldehyde, carbon monoxide, in cigarettes. But it's a business. They don't tell you these things. Now, the Attorney General is making them warn you, but still and yet, they don't put certain chemicals on that pack because this is money. And you have about five or six states where they grow tobacco. This is big business. Lobbying group, where they spend $1 million a year to make certain senators, they won't even show up, to pass a bill or vote in this favor or vote against it. It's money. And this is one of the roots of our problem, is the money. The wealth that these children see. The instant wealth. The gold that they're selling. One of the things we can do, especially in this community, because we do have alliance with the council people and the mayor, and I've been saying something about it to a lot of the PTA groups. There's a lot of the Koreans, they're selling clothes, they're also selling gold. They're selling food, they're selling gold. You don't do certain things in the store. That's a health problem. Especially with their polishing and things coming in the air, articles coming in the air, they're drilling holes in these rings and certain things, they're giving them, they're making names for them. You know, but we let them do anything, basically because we just let it go. And sometimes, you know, things that we don't see. But we can do something. Also, Abu Bakr mentioned when he mentioned about Zakat money. 20 years from now, those who are paying their Social Security may not have them. We got two generations that haven't done anything in between us. And they're taking your Social Security. But you're not old enough to receive it yet, most of us. When you get old enough to receive it, it might not be there. We got to look at what's real. We really have to start establishing certain things because we're a community within itself. We're God-fearing people. And we have to really start propagating this, especially to the children. Because I'm going to tell you, the peer pressure in these schools is tremendous. Most of the time, we don't realize what we're doing when we're sending our child to one of these public schools. When you talk about diapers, the Catholic school still spanks and hits these kids. They don't say nothing to them. And this is what this is about when you talk about sister crime around the school, proceeds. Because we have to keep our mind, the LS above us, the right way, the right way, the straight way. Because if we don't look out for our hair, we won't have it. Because the way that the drug problem is coming to us, it's really being very destructive. As a people. There's no coloring in the world. It's a mentality. That shape time. You know? And the young kids, we have to be careful when you talk about boyfriend-girlfriend relationships. I try to tell the young ones that the heart is the weakest organ in the body. And excuse me, brother has taken a little bit down.
Sorry to break into the speaker, but I'd like to notify Mr. Abdul Al-Mutazin, would you please go home right away?
And a lot of these teenage children, I find, when you look at the pregnancy of a lot of the young people, a lot of our schools, elementary schools, it's at least sometimes 20 to 30 young ladies that are pregnant, 7th grade, some 6th grade. And it's really devastating because it's sad because it's showing us how weak we are. And when you talk about drugs, we're weak again. But we have to be very careful in letting our children succumb to these influences. I know it's hard with the peer pressure that they're under. But we have to keep them because the heart is weak, the sensitivity. This is where the sensitivity is in our heart, our feelings, our emotions. And a lot of these young ladies don't know how to say no. Some of the young men don't know how to say no. I find out a lot of the young men, when you call them a sushi or a punk or faggot, we're not thinking words because we don't mean them. Meaning is 90% of our learning. And you can get a young man to use them by calling one of these names. You'll be surprised. It's our human nature to want to be wanted by one another. And I see the actions in the schools. It's devastating. I see up the west side one particular day, we were in the car, the principal called us to, when 8:30 bell rings, he said, anybody that doesn't come to school, lock them up. And I'm with the investigators sometimes before I go into classes. And one of the young men who was a freshman walked up to a crowd, basically in the same neighborhood. And he spoke, he was passing around marijuana. And when they passed it to him, he said, no, I'm going to do that. And one of the guys said, well, get this back. And he bent his head down, he walked about 3 or 4 steps because he was hurt. He was hurt. And then he turned back, he said, just give me a little glass. You know where this young man is today? 30 years, he has a homicide. I think about 3 months ago, they gave him 30 years of homicide. 1942. And this is how they're being seduced to use these drugs, how to get involved with the gang. Because we don't stress a lot of the things that are important. Reading is one of the things that we need to stress. And I find that, especially in children, if they're readers, they're thinking. They can save our lives a lot of time. Especially when we're reading the right things. If you talk about it, it's one of the best things to read. But we have to read things other than that, but we have to read. We have to enforce that on our children to read. And if they have younger brothers and sisters, let them read to them. It will enhance the baby to want to read. Because basically, our influence and our environment, this is what we copy. We have to do that. And we should try to lessen the visibility of drugs. And I'm going to tell you, none of the environments that we live in drug-free. In the suburban area, it's in a home. Because a lot of times it's still happening out in the community. And I tell a lot of the youngsters, when you go past the underpass up beside Barn, look for sidewalks. See if you find them. When you're going up in the living center, or someone's going to the mall, look for the sidewalk. There is none. If they catch the people coming up, then they're going to knock you up or question you as to what you're doing up here. Because you really have no business up here if you don't live up here. If you lived up there, you would have a automobile. But it's just something that I just try to make the youngsters see because we don't realize what's going on. And alcohol, as I said, is the number one killer in the world. They buy it by the truckloads. And we're looking at cocaine, a lot of these other destructive drugs that they're selling on the street, the pills. I had some drug paraphernalia, some papers out there. I don't know if everybody got one. One was on crack and freebasing, because there is a difference. Because most of your crack is made with solvents, basically ammonia, acetone, which is fingernail polish remover. It's a flammable chemical, flesh eater, liquid ether, formaldehyde, which is a disinfect, embalming fluid, hair sprays, black flag, which is rope spray. And I find that a lot of them like to use the black flag and rope spray because when you make it a liquid, it's thicker. And you put less cocaine in. You know, but most people don't even know what they're buying. When you're buying these objects already made, they don't know what they're getting. And when you're looking at age, because you could catch age from the pipe, a lot of these drugs are contaminated. You know, yeah, we have to be careful. You know, a lot of times with depression, you may have to check your son's pocket, you know, your daughter's pocketbook sometime. Because in that particular peer pressure setting, they may take anything just for that sense of being wanted. And that, they don't take it to use it. But, you know, they have to be careful, you know, and you have to oversee it. You know, that's one of your responsibilities, you know, how much they may hate it. Because one of the things that's really devastating to a lot of the youngsters, most of them feel wrong. And it's sad because we lose them so quickly. Because a lot of them find that they're not wrong, you know. They just need to take advantage of it. But we have to enforce a strict rule on our children. You know? And I would like to see basically the communities, if you have children going to a lot of the public schools. I was at a PCAB Thursday in Hawthorne Avenue. 800 students, one parent showed up. And it tells you something. When you look at the area off and out of the Clint Place, you know, with the homicides and the things that in the community, these are what our children are acting out because this is what they're watching. A lot of these young parents are using drugs. You know, we could set up committees. We have to open just like the cloak and saying, you know, it really is good to see everybody here.
Very important. time to bring across to you. And I think it's important that we all understand that all of these facets of the community are vitally important for us to develop